Well, how many do you want to send? Only what, 9:30?
No.
9:45. All right, folks. I want to discuss something which is not necessarily means the end of our planet. You know, as far as being specifically or exclusively topical, that, you know, in relation to some of the current problems here, but which on the other hand I think is always the end of our planet. Someone asked me the other day, half jokingly, I think, aren't you going to discuss the problem of peanuts? No, he understands that I discuss this problem every year. And let's say I somehow gather from the way the question was put, and certainly no offense is meant to the person who asked it. Somebody got it a kind of a joke. Let me say, Alavite was a joke. It is. As some of you know, I know some of you, of course, have been through this, heard this last year. I do discuss it every year. But, I'll say two things. I don't say this by way of apology. First of all, there are certain things which are worth rehearing, and which I think, you know, sometimes are aware of and sort of lack a little bit the recesses of our consciousness. And there is great truth to what in the Tilas Yesharim in Akdamah says, namely that sometimes what we need is not so much to hear big kedusha as simply to have obvious points repeated and hammered at, until they really sink in. That, Johnson once put it, we often need not so much to be instructed as to be reminded. And secondly, I'll say quite frankly that I feel this particular question, I'll elaborate upon it soon, is so important that even if it only gets through to one book out of this whole Olam, I think it is certainly worth my saying it, and I'll take the liberty of saying that it is worth everybody else sitting through. The problem which I have in mind, and I guess you know what I'm talking about, is very simply that which confronts all of you in one way or another, and this is a question of settling upon a career. I suppose that by and large, for a great many of you, this decision is behind you. Generally speaking, by the time a fellow is a senior in college, of course actually most of you are juniors, but I take this time I was senior. But even by the time one is a junior, I suppose that by and large, one has a pretty clear idea of what he wants to do professionally, vocationally. And I also suppose that to some extent, among those who are more career-minded, the age at which decisions are made about this tends to advance all the time. It's not uncommon to meet fellows who are in high school who are very determined about just what they're going to do. On the other hand, there are some who are undecided, and I might say that there's a contrary trend, I think, in a way, has set in the last couple of years as well. That whereas at one time, I think 3 or 4 years ago, the overall careerist tendency was somewhat, was very strong, I would say very dominant, some of the recent reaction against the establishment, if you will, in one form or another, And against what was felt to be an excessively programmed kind of life, where a person had one track to follow, the reaction against that, in certain respects, should be lamented, in other respects, should be very much commended. Has shaken up, I think, a little bit the sense of regularity with which many Bachim approach the question of a career, and it has left, I think, a greater measure of openness, even at relatively late stage in one's collegiate experience, to other suggestions, that suggestions other than what at one time would have been seen as being the standard one. And consequently, I do want to address myself to this question and make a pitch, if you will, for at least giving very serious consideration to a certain range of options which, to my mind, are vital in a sense from a personal point of view, in a sense certainly from a communal point of view. Very simply, the situation within which I think the Jewish community by and large finds itself today is one of genuine crisis, insofar as getting proper personnel is concerned. This is a point which perhaps some of you are more aware of than others. Those of them out of town, I imagine, are more sensitive to this. But whether you sense it in an immediate sense or not, believe me, it is such a pervasive reality, and one which, to anyone who is at all involved in Shlachei Tzibur, is so stark and at times so discouraging as to be not a kind of theoretical point. It is a felt, a palpable reality. Wherever one turns, at almost any level that one can deal with, you find time and again the problem is, where do you get the right people? Where do you get proper personnel? This is true if you deal with problems which concern the yeshiva here, Klapei Pnim. I mean, just to take questions which are aimed at Alapavet, the question of getting proper personnel for Hashpah, Hashgacha, and again, time and again, the problem is, whom are we going to get? Are we getting the right person? Whether it involves getting people, I mean, just yesterday, spent several hours discussing various aspects of the Smicha program with some of the Bachim there, and again, the problem came up in connection with certain teaching of certain courses about getting personnel which from every point of view should be satisfactory, or whether one deals with broader aspects of the community at large, be it Rabbanit. There are today more positions open in Rabbanit than there are Rabbanit to fill them. There are literally, I will not say dozens, there are hundreds of positions which throughout the country have gone by the boards, either in terms of certain shuls which are closed down, or places which have ended up taking conservative reform people simply because we did not have people to fill the position. There are, I will not say an unlimited number, but a very substantial number of communities where at present there are no Orthodox congregations simply because we don't have people who could take initiative and go out and try to form them. Of course, there are financial problems as well. I'm not minimizing them. But the crucial problem, really, because the key to finances and many times also personnel. If you have someone who can attract the community, you can get funds from them, too. The crucial problem throughout is that of personnel. And this applies not only in Rabbanit, this is a problem in Chinuch, in Hayroi. If one asks oneself, so take even the highest level. So we need people who should be Gdela Havar, Gdela, who should be able to Paskin. And where, after all, is the next generation of Paskin going to come from? And if one begins to look around, you are confronted again by stark realities. The realities are that, A, by and large, and this is true of virtually all yeshivas, the number of absolutely top-flight Bachim, I mean top-flight in terms of ability and background, but for the moment speaking to ability, who are willing to dedicate themselves, really, and make the sacrifices necessary for a lifetime of tzedakah, is unfortunately diminishing. I know this to some extent to be the case here, but it's a pervasive situation. I went to see Abutna, for instance, this winter, discussed the matter with him, and in the course of the discussion, he said he recalled 15 or 20 years ago, that if you walked into any shiva, you walked into a bismedic, there were 100 people sitting to learn. He said of the 100, 3 or 4 were likely to be gewaltig. 15 or 20 to be very solid Balaji Shrek. And the rest, some better, some worse. Today he said, any Machan Tera that you walk into, the proportions are far small. The reasons, to a great extent, are that, very simply, the kind of opportunities that are open elsewhere, be it in terms of prestige, in terms of money, are such that it's very difficult for someone to turn them down. And people are siphoned off into other areas. They have opportunities of remaining, in a sense, in Neitena. I mean, it's still Neitena Seder, maybe it's just learn and so on, but yet, you know, other kind of positions elsewhere, and it affects people. Maybe, to some extent, I hope this is not the case, but to some extent, there's been a general decline in terms of genuine cheshit to learn. Maybe not as many people are turned on, so to speak, by learning. I don't know whether that's the case, and I doubt it. And the fact is that even amongst those who are generally committed to it, but finally when the chips are down and the question of how a career is going to be formed is made, that one decides against this kind of career. But it's a problem certainly at the level of the uppermost level, in terms of getting people who should be gdeila heroya, both in the sense that they have a hekif and an amkus in the understanding of Torah, and also in the sense that they have, and this is where our oilim should have in a sense an advantage, they have their antennae open to what's going on in the world and have the ability and the desire to relate to it. It's a problem in areas, for instance, such as, take the field of education, simply in terms of administration. There are several positions in the New York, and just the New York City area alone, major institutions that cannot find a principal. Take a shiva like Flatbush, shiva like High Lodge, these are big places. They can't find a man. They offer really respectable salaries, $20,000, $25,000, they go higher through, and they can't get. I mean, they can't get someone who would fill the bill. And what's true of such places, it's true, certainly outside of New York City. There was a sign up early in the year about a yeshiva in Omaha, which was looking for someone to come out and help, you know, serve the principal. They weren't looking for someone who had 25 years experience. They wanted to take practically someone straight out of the smicha program. And they were offering a salary, which for someone who was starting was not bad, $12,000, $13,000. And they couldn't get someone. And the yeshiva folded. Close. A whole life, a whole town, there are thousands of Jews in Omaha, who now have no access to the yeshiva education, because they couldn't get someone to come out there and run the school. It's a problem which exists in other academic areas. For instance, there's been a proliferation in recent years of chairs, still over the last year or two, perhaps not so much, just to the pension of the money. But there was a proliferation, there still is to some extent, of chairs in, let us say, Jewish studies in various universities. And they cannot find the people to fill them properly. The fellow Ani Ben, who teaches out at UCLA, not an Orthodox person, but a person who's interested and concerned about Jewish matters, wrote an article about this back in 64. But the situation has not really improved perceptively since. I know my brother-in-law is at Harvard. And of course, people who have such positions to fill turn to him with inquiries. In many cases, he says, he doesn't know the people. The result in many cases is, A, sometimes the positions simply are not brought into being because there's no one to fill them. Sometimes they can't get a man who, from our point of view, will be satisfactory. So they bring in someone who is perhaps again a conservative or a foreign fellow. In many cases, a total abhorrent. A malish abhorrent, a fellow who would not know how to work through a pasuk rashi, a chumash rashi. And in many instances, this one man can be on a campus with thousands of Jewish students, and he's the merada. It's a problem which exists at the level of secondary school education. Wherever you go, particularly out of town, in New York City perhaps not quite as acute, wherever you go out of town, repeatedly you hear like a litany, the same thing. Send us teachers, where are we getting teachers, and so on. And in many cases, I repeat, it is not always a question of money. It's simply, where are they going to get competent teachers? And it's a problem I would emphasize, not merely at the secondary level. We ought to attach far greater importance than we do to the level of primary education as well. You speak to people, Bachin Lert and Yeshivit, who would have no qualms about going out and having a perfectly mechanical job. They work with computers or something, they would consider that to be perfectly like a chreda. But to work with children who are some of the lobal mitzvah, they consider it a bizarre. Chazal speak of Mikhi Dalviki, Shnege Shebeis Rabban, the whole world is Mitzkayim Bahavar Pia Shnege Shebeis Rabban. Ain't Klenika, in Yubatra, it's one day of Mikhi Dalviki. And yet, yeah, speak to many of our Bachim, so if they can get a shiur in a high school and teach Gemara, okay, that they would be willing to consider. But somehow, to teach at a primary level, this they consider a business for young girls and Israelis who can't find a job. It's no joke, believe me. And the fact of the matter is that it's crucial. You don't have, of course, children at this point, you don't sense it in quite the immediate sense. But believe me, this and that family is going to see how crucial this particular problem is. You have to go and begin to decide to which school you send your child simply by trying to figure out where the better teachers are going to be. There are people who leapfrog. One year they send the child here, but they found, I know one person who would send his children for the first grade to Chafetz Chaim, for the second grade to Yeshiva Soloveitchik, for the third grade he sent them over to, Zichron Moshe. Menachesh, each year there was a better teacher. It's a very serious problem. And one ought not imagine that there's no need for getting B'nai Teira involved in this area, because after all, why should you waste the talents of someone who's already learned at a higher level, and what can equally be done by someone who knows a good deal less? Because the problem of getting through to a young child is not just a problem of teaching him exactly the material. Of course, the material maybe can be taught by someone who knows less. It's a problem, though, of developing commitment, of developing interest, and of giving a student, and even a young child, a sense that Yeser Masha Korosu Nifnechem Kosukkan, the quote of Mishnah Yud. One of the reasons, for instance, that the commission, the president's commission, whatever it was, set up to study the teaching of mathematics, found that the teaching of math was so poor, by and large, in this country, was the fact that it was taught by people who generally maybe knew what specifically what they were teaching, but did not know much beyond that, sensed their own ignorance, and communicated this to the students unconsciously, and communicated also a certain sense of resentment about it. And in order to get someone genuinely interested in an area, you've got to give them a feel that there is more than this particular item that you are communicating. It's part of a total complex. It's part of a whole hashkafa. And this is something which Ibn Taylor, who is able to see not only the specific pasuk in Rashi that he's learning, but who is able to relate it. And this is something which is communicated simply by the personality and the way that a person handles material, rather than specifically what he tells us. The ability to relate that to a much broader framework is essential. It's essential also to be able to give even a young child a sense of the genuine meaning of Chumash. That's simply a verbal translation. The verbal translation, given his Goyalot, his Tagulim, and they memorize it and finish. This cannot tell a student what Chumash is all about. That's give him a feeling for what a mitzvah is, for what a halach is, for what personages of Tanakh are. This requires a person with a hat. And again, it's an area where we are so shorthanded, partly in New York, partly elsewhere, more so elsewhere, as to constitute a genuinely critical situation. I say this, believe me, not in terms of coming to be kiveya, or in terms of imputing some blame. If I'll meet him here, we subsequently go on elsewhere. Certainly, the present situation is not merely the result of neglect or lack of responsibility on the part of students. Certainly, it's an area where, unfortunately, so much wrong has been done that there's enough blame to be shared all around. There's no question. But the Dan Holovi Yeshiva has been very remiss in this area. It has not made, and is not making, a major effort to encourage Bachrim down the line. And this is something which has got to start in high school. To encourage Bachrim to go into these areas. To give them a sense of achrayus for them, to inspire them in a way. Even to give them information. To some extent, Bachrim don't go into these areas simply because they're misinformed. They don't know what opportunities are available, but simply in terms of the financial situation. I'm not saying it's good, working for IBM may be better, if you can get a job there. But it certainly is considerably better than it's envisioned, I think, by many Bachrim. Tell you again, I spoke just the other night to a fellow who's a Rav. He's a good Rav, it's true, but a fairly young fellow. And he told me he had been offered a position in Los Angeles. And the point of departure, when they were going to talk salary, he turned the job down, but they were going to talk salary, the point of departure was $30,000. I say this not Chassid Shalom, because I think the material consideration should be primary. I'll deal with that hopefully later. But simply as an instance of where at least information would be useful, insofar as, after all, to some extent, the financial issue is one of those that does deter people from entering the area. I'll go beyond this. It's not an administration which is going to be missed. I think to some extent, the Rabbein collectively are remiss in this area too. I don't like to be critical, but this is unfortunately a fact. And it's a double problem. It is partly a question of going out in a positive sense and trying to work on people in this area. It is partly also the fact that some perhaps really have a kind of negative attitude toward Rabbanus, even toward Chinuch, and willy-nilly sort of communicate this to students too. A remark dropped here and there, a kind of slight crack, is sufficient to undermine a Bacher's desire to get involved in the area. And you begin to get a picture of Rabbanus, it being a combination of ways running a sisterhood and occasional bingo games. And of course, as long as that kind of image is preserved, no one is going to go into it. And to the extent that I think perhaps Some people, I feel, oughtn't to do this, serve, no doubt, to undermine whatever commitment one might have to going into these areas. And I can tell you that, again, I do not say that everything here is to be placed on your shoulders. I recognize there's a kind of collective guilt here, and to the extent that I'm able to do so, I fight for this. I fight within the administration to try to get a greater push on this. Maybe I don't fight hard enough, I don't know. To this point, I haven't found that much movement. There are people there, Rabbi Miller, for instance, is one of them, who feel this very keenly and speak to students about it. But certainly the major thrust that is necessary in order to make a real dent here doesn't exist. And frankly, I'm afraid that if some significant improvement is going to come in this area, it may come not so much, and this would be rather unfortunate, not so much because we've inspired more people about the sense of responsibility in connection with Rabbanus HaChinuch, but because they read the newspapers and discover that PhDs in math and chemistry and physics are going around schnorring for jobs. There's one job in City College last year with 268 people applied. And maybe that will sort of lead them in that direction. I very much wish, however, that if a change should come, and I'll advise that it should, that there be some more genuinely positive motivation behind it. But the point is, look, I'm talking to you, and let us see what you can do. What the administration should do, what Rabbein should do, they should do. And if they don't, there are sitting within a tzaddik. But the question, I think, which we need to consider is what we can do. And here, I think each and every one of you at least has to consider the question seriously for himself. They ask me, why should a person go into this area? What can I tell you? How should a person not go into this area? If a person feels, really, a sense of commitment, profoundly speaking, to failure. If a person feels a sense of achrayus for the future of Knesset Yisrael, maybe that's putting it too much in capital letters, if you simply feel a sense of achrayus to your next door neighbor, how can a person really stand by and go into some comfortable, secure area, then move into a nice, comfortable neighborhood and feel that simply I'm here shaliach? There are around us thousands and hundreds of thousands of people who simply are in a spiritual sense drowning. There are people who are up to their neck in quicksand. And many of us just stand by and do nothing. It is a lesamen of Damreacha. I don't speak of the mitzvah of Tamatea. Forget about these mitzvahs. It is, spiritually speaking, simply a lesamen of Damreacha. And to the extent that a sense of social responsibility has been quickened recently, we ought to recognize and to feel that as Jews, our responsibility, while extending in a sense of the broader community as well, but initially is one of Aniyei Yisrael. Now, of course, our Aniyim are not Aniyim quite in the same sense, perhaps, as people in our. But spiritually speaking, if we're talking about things which are infinitely more important, after all, than material value, spiritually speaking, we are in a disaster area. Is Los Angeles, spiritually speaking, not one big walk? There are hundreds of thousands of Jews in the Los Angeles area. They are begging, there were people here last year, for teachers to come out there. But one person makes a cheshbon, it's the West Coast, and the West Coast so far. And other will make the cheshbon, he'll have a separation, and brothers, and parents, and students, and mates. So why should he go into such a field altogether? And the result is that Jewish education there is in a disastrous matter. I speak to people, and I tell me they're around there. If we have a sense of responsibility about this, it ought to permeate them, to permeate every fiber of our thinking in connection with the career. And this, mind you, is not merely a question of communal responsibility. I could put another level too. If you will, there's a selfish element involved also. I had a fellow who was in my shir a number of years ago. Good boy. Something who was in the kollel for a year. And he came to me with an offer to prevent a scholarship from NYU in operations region. And, of course, he knows my position on this. I've spoken a number of times about it. So he came to discuss it. And I tried to hammer away at it. I put it simply in personal terms. I asked him, you're not willing to go into chinuch. So what do you want? I mean, only the yitzchok should go into chinuch. People who cannot get fellowships from NYU. Whom do you expect to teach your children? You don't want to teach other people's children. You have the background, you have a good head, you learned well, you have avon intayer, and you're interested, you're committed, you recognize the value of it. If you don't want, why should someone else want? I'm sorry to say he went anyway. Of course, he may be a chesed, but eventually once he gets the degree there, that he hopes to go to chinuch, maybe that's the scar of himself. I hope he does it, and I have to show him don't like to lose faith in anyone. But again, even in selfish terms, there's an element to consider. And one could put it in selfish terms, I think another would be special. Subtle thought. If a person really wants to learn, he wants to grow, he's a one of Tate in the broadest sense. There's a lamb, there's a bal machshavah. Lamb is a tishnara. No matter how much a person is going to tell himself that he'll go and he'll become a great chemist or what have you, but he'll learn additionally, he's not going to have the opportunity to learn fully the way he would if he were above, if he were on the high. Very nice, he'll learn an hour or two a day, hopefully. Beyond that is after all not realistic to expect. But this is not quite the same as a person who is involved in it. A rav who wants to learn, believe me, and any rav who is serious about it will tell you this, any rav who wants to learn can learn 4 or 5 hours a day without difficulty. Without difficulty. Again, it's a question though of harnessing oneself to do it. But these are, I tell you, selfish considerations. The primary issue, I think, here is not merely a selfish one. The primary issue is, after all, and I think this is the level at which it needs to be perceived best, is that of a responsibility. To what extent, really, is a person going to put a self-interest above what is drastically, at this point, the need of the community. And let me make it perfectly clear. I do not, Chas v'Sholom, argue against the value, the validity, or the merit of any one of a number of secular careers. I know very well that a person who is a physicist, who's an ICB, Shuvah Shalaylah, that he's a Makayim, that he's a Shua, that he contributes to social welfare, and I know my position on this very well. I do not slight the inherent value of various professions, certainly not medicine, law, nor the value of knowing a good deal of these areas. But this really is not the question. I had an experience I believe I mentioned a couple of years ago. I once went down to the, I was invited to the AOJF, speak to them, group of them, on this question about secular studies. I'll tell you that, no, a few other people also invited to the panel. And I began to speak, well, for 15, 20 minutes, and expounded about the importance of relating to nature, science, and so on, Shua, being Asa, the Yeshua Shalalom, etc., etc. And all the people there, all like thinking themselves as full of academicians, and they were all congratulating themselves, I could see them beaming and smiling on their faces, and feeling very good, you know, with wonderful people they are. Not only are they Orthodox Jews, but I even have come along and told them that the scientist in them is God Atzad. And then I, in a sense, turned on them. I said that in Kolzeh, it's all perfectly valid and perfectly important. But that the question of priorities is crucial. And that the present time, I felt, was a time in which the priorities of the Jewish community were not producing more programmers, chemists, physicists, in short, enlarging the membership of AOJF, but that the priorities called for producing people who can work and work more or less full time. And Habat HaSteira in one way or another. One of them got up, something to the president, said he doesn't understand me. First he says, I build them up, and I say what wonderful people they are. And then it was the Augustine with Calvin. And then I come along and... The point is, however, that priorities are crucial. Of course, we pass on Rabbi Shmuel. The Adam is Chavez Shastishin, Vareh Vishazriyah, so on and so forth. And certainly Rabbi Shimon Yechai's Derech is not available on a mass basis, certainly. Hardly also the Le'ol B'yot. And certainly Derech Eretz is important and a profession is important. But the question is, what is at this point most necessary? Misha says it's like this, that in the time of Mechemes Mitzvah, that through the Chosin Mechupasa, Kala Mechetz, getting married is certainly important, certainly valuable. But in a moment of crisis, there are priorities which override. This is an hour of crisis. And whatever the value, and again, I do not minimize it, of other callings, the need for people who can dedicate themselves to a life of Avos HaSeder is so paramount that I feel that anyone who can do it, some people are not cut out for it, and if a person is not cut out for it, I mean, he certainly ought to go into it. We don't need simply incompetent people, but someone who has the yechelus, who has the knowledge, who has the personality, I think at the Chayt Kaddish, undertake. I do not minimize, believe me, some of the difficulties that are involved. There are various kinds of difficulties. To some extent, there are financial problems. Not so much in Rabbanus. Rabbanus is a field which pays well. I can tell you, I know fellow guys getting smicha this year, and by no means, you know, without the but he's getting now the first position. He's starting out in a town in the Middle West. He's getting $11,000 plus a free house plus a pension. In chinuch, admittedly, teaching is not easy. But I don't believe the problem is here. The financial aspect is overwhelming. Where there is a willingness to undergo a measure not of deprivation, but a certain measure of sacrifice. And a measure of sacrifice, I think we ought to be willing to make. I said it once before and I'll say it again. There are fellows in the Suez Canal who are giving up. There are other problems. Of course, there's more mustafish in our body, or in chinuch, that a person could have working for Standard Oil. Oil tanks don't talk back. But there are two things to be considered here. Number one, the Agnes Nefesh is greater, and the Nachas can be greater too. It is not as level a position. There are moments of heartache, but there are moments of joy, really profound, effusive satisfaction, which a person who simply works with machines cannot begin to appreciate. And secondly, even if there is the Agnes Nefesh, we've got to be willing to take it. Moshe Rabbeinu had it easy. Now what Reb Chaim used to say, that the Rav is very popular in his town, he's not doing his job. Well, there's got to be some Agnes Nefesh. Well, he's got to be willing to take it. And part of the problem is also that we have to be, if we're thinking in terms of the emotional reward of the job, we've got to have a sense also of what we ought to be satisfied with. I remember once reading an article by a fellow who's been in the Peace Corps. And he came back very disillusioned. Why was he disillusioned? Because he'd gone thinking somehow he would come as a great wise white man, almost an American, come to some town of South America, Africa, with a great civilizing influence, and within a year or two he would have them all great educated men. Of course he came, he found reality to be very different. And what he saw was that he could only measure progress in terms which, from an American perspective, have to do with God's ministry. So he got a few people, not necessarily to read, but to appreciate the importance of reading. That's part of the problem in illiterate society. They don't even see that it's important. Likewise, if a person is going to Rabbanit, of course, if a person is going to start out with the assumption that unless he transforms the whole community, the people who are Shevre Tevo Mitzvah, the way we would want him to be Kedasha Chabim, and otherwise he's going to feel totally disillusioned and fear that he's a failure, of course, this is beyond attainment, by and large. However, if a person is going to think of progress, it's got to be with an eye to two things. Number one, to take with seriousness, I would say with utter seriousness, the Mishnah in Sanhedrin, Kol HaMekayim Nefesh Achas Yilchi Emel HaMolech. And this means literally that a person should feel that despite whatever failures he may have with any number of individuals or families, that if there is one family that he has madrich properly, that he's a maksa l'muta, he's a shooter for my celebration. Secondly, quite apart from the quantitative question, to recognize that progress is measurable not only where I've taken someone who before was completely mufkir from Teva Mitzvahs, and now let's say the master and be true. This is in a sense a Christian conception for the person either on this side or on that side. There's a spectrum. The person who before had no identification with Knesset Yisrael at all, and now identifies, even if he's presently still Lechon Avelos HaTreifetz, not that I want him to be. Well, this is immense promise. Maybe he won't intermarry, maybe his son won't intermarry. A person who before didn't come to shul at all, now if he comes, even if he drives, it's a measure of progress. Otherwise he just drives to the gospel. And we've got to recognize that the ability to get through, even in limited measure, is itself of tremendous importance. Even imperceptible changes in terms of a person's attitude even if there are people who lamaisa perhaps still live the way they lived before, but if attitudinally they now regard Torah and Shmiras HaMitzvahs as something positive, something which before they would have said, who needs it, it's nonsense, it's old fashioned. And now they say, or they think, it's wonderful, Halavaya could do it. Halavaya could believe and do it. This is an immense change. And a Rav who is able, or a teacher who is able, to bring about that kind of change, has done tremendous things. But in order to do this, and to do this in significant, on a significant scale, you need someone who is not merely involved in it, you know, let's say on a part-time basis as a balabas. Of course you can express concern and interest as a balabas too, and chas v'shalom I don't minimize. But if you are in a community certainly out of town, that needs a person who is reish v'rubei involved, who can spend a day running around trying to raise money for a yeshiva. After all, the impact of the yeshiva can be tremendous. A friend of mine was involved in Asbury Park for many years. And again, I'm not talking necessarily of people who gain out gain. I mean, a nice fellow. Yeah, Ben Taylor. He was there at Asbury Park. It's no, believe me, inherently, it's no better than, and no worse than many other communities. But he was there, he worked at it, he built the yeshiva. He sent Bachim here, he sent Bachim to Tel, he sent Bachim to Neri Yisrael. One person in the same community, without him, would have been with many other communities there. Places from which no person in a 10-year period might go on to yeshiva, get yeshiva education. But that requires a person who is shakua in it. And no matter how well-intentioned the person is, no matter how well-meaning, if Sof the whole day is spent at business, or is spent at one's secular calling, of course, how much can be accomplished? He comes home, he reads the paper, looks at the stock market quotation, listens to the radio, and this must then, how much can he do? It needs people who are involved, and involved the relation of the world. And let us not delude ourselves. Unfortunately here, the kind of image has been projected in part by the public relations department, in part by the college, is one that somehow the people of responsible, the ones that we show off and that we are proudest of, are people who are establishing themselves in some secular field, and yet, nevertheless, you see, they're b'nai teir. They're observed. Of course, it's very nice, and chas v'shalom, I don't minimize it. But there is, first of all, a certain smug self-righteousness about this. You encounter people who sort of always walk around with the attitude that they're very wonderful persons, because here they are, you see, great professors and great scientists, and they slip around still. Do a very slimy face. And even when that is lacking, still, in objective terms, take all of the chemists or physicists that have emerged from this issue. And instead of putting them in Brookline or in Philadelphia or one of these other gilt-edged young Israels, spread them around the country. And what would you have? You'd have one showcase less, perhaps, for the public relations department to pass around and to show Kazare the Kaddish. In terms of the impact on the Jewish community, can you compare it? There could be an additional 50 day schools. Hundreds of families that were closer to Torah, perhaps fully observant. But we don't do. There are, of course, other problems. I don't want to mislead anybody. Believe me, I don't want anyone to go into Rabbanus HaChinuch as a Mekach Tos. Because if a person goes into it as a Mekach Tos, he's bound to be a failure. There are personal spiritual problems. Subtle self, in terms of, sometimes, in terms of how much one could learn on one's own, sometimes going down to the field, seems to work against it. A person who was isolated, maybe more insulated, might be able to get a job, let's say, in some particular local center, and not go out to Albonis in a small town where the problems are great. But even here, and this admittedly is a difficult problem, and if someone comes and asks me, on the one hand, someone asked me yesterday this kind of a question. He feels he'll learn better by being in one kind of a job, but he knows the service community better by being in another. This is a gewaltige Schikolada. It's difficult to lay down absolute guidelines. But certainly, the recognition that there is here an eighth aspect, and that a person needs to weigh and weigh most heavily the needs of the Rabbi, this I think is meaningful. I want to read to you, I believe I quoted last year as well, a passage from a letter written by Rabbi Ovadia Kaplan, really an Rabban Gadol. A letter which he wrote to his wife shortly before his death. It was at a time when he was organizing a teacher seminar and had to give a lot of time to it. And he writes here, הרי לך, עבודה נמרצה בעולת על קרבה ימים הימים, ומיד אחריה תבוא עבודת הסידור של הקרוסים עצמם, וכל התכונה הרבה כחולכה בה, כגון קבלת תלמידים, מבחן, סידור התמיכה, שיעורים וכו'. אולם, מתוך כל ריבוי העבודה הזה, נשמע נפשי קול מדבר. והתורה מתהה עליה, תורה זו שאמרת עליה כימי נעוריך, שבזבזת לה את כל הגיגיך, ושנעשה לך למקור חיים ועונג. האם קל בין האתר ומפשטה? זו תורה וזו שכרה? אמנה באמת, נכון הדבר. היא גם עבודה זו שבקורסים, תחילתה זו תורה וסופה תורה. תחילתה מתן תורה לצעירים העומדים על מקטן בית החיים, וסופה מתן תורה לילדים שילמדו מפיהם בימים יבואו. אבל סוף סוף, אין כאן מקום לכל אותו המקצוע הרחב והנאור, הכביר והנשגם, מה שנקרא לו לומדת. אותו הטיול הנהדר בסירת מחשבתי על גלי ים התלמוד מפעשה. אכן, צריך אדם שיהיה צדיק גמור וחסיד גדול. בכדי שיוכל להקריב על מזבח תורה את התורה עצמה, לפרוש מן התורה, בכדי לעבוד בעד התורה. I don't like to make this kind of judgment for you. It's an enormously difficult decision. Is there anything that confronts, I think, every Rebbe who is here? And that is a decision which requires, really, weighing factors and ad hoc basis. The least, though, that I think one needs to send is what are the criteria? What are the proper considerations in selecting a career? And these, I want to insist and insist in utter firm. These are what, at this point, is demanded of us by Theta in a personal sense and the common sense. You know very well the Medrash about the encounter between Avraham and Noach. Noach came to Avraham, Noach met Avraham, and he told him, you know, see, do what I've done. Lived in a generation of Sdaim, Malar and Chava, and maintained myself. Of course, it's an accomplishment. Avraham answered him, the Medrash portrays it, the greater accomplishment would have been to try to have done what I did, namely, to try to mashpia on the people around you, they should stop engaging in that. To play the role of Noach is sometimes easier. Take a job at a fancy university, and congratulate oneself And the fact that here you are amongst so many people, secularists and atheists, and hippies, who knows what. And then amongst all of them, here you are, still called in Solipsism. Of course, it's very nice, but they're right, so God's fine. But the call of the hour, and this is crucial today particularly, because we are not in the map that we live in Europe. We are not in a situation where, as it was 100 or 200 years ago, with the Rav Minyan, the Rav Minyan of Knesset Yisrael, were people who were shamed by Eidet Tehra Mitzvah. But where literally most Jews are in a total desert. Precisely for that reason, the primary call needs to be Avraham. How to get through to others, how to be able to mashpia upon this, balancing this admittedly with our own spiritual needs. But let us be certain that the balance is made here. I do not again dismiss the importance of certain other factors. I know the value of other careers. I recognize the responsibility which a person has to his own family in terms of giving it a certain measure of financial security. However, I think these factors at present are not so crucial that a person cannot be so minded, find that degree of security within, broadly speaking, a Jewish area. And of course, there are any number of forms that this can take. I've spoken of Rabbanus and Chinuch, there are others as well. There's administration. There's even the area, simply a person becoming a psychologist, there's any number of such areas. But primarily, a person feels that his achayus is to the and feel that he must find a way of reconciling his own needs with public needs. I do not tell you that you should set aside completely what in a spiritual sense is important for yourself and simply sacrifice all of this for the tzibur. That is a difficult call to make. The Rambam certainly would not have encouraged it. However, to do the reverse, namely, to pay attention only to one's own needs, and only to think in terms of developing myself as a ben tzedek, and then feeling that once I've established myself in Parakway or Borapak, wherever it may be, that then Yatosi de Chevasi, this borders on the criminal. And I urge you, B'chaloshi shal bakoshi. I certainly am not so foolish as to imagine you're going to walk out of here and change any of your present plans or agalachas, but I wouldn't want you to do that. Think it through. Think of our situation. Think of the priorities. And within that context, really try to search this question as honestly and as deeply as you can. I wish I could guarantee you that ultimately you'll find more nachas in it too. I believe so. Honestly, I do. I think that a person who is genuinely a ben tzedek will ultimately find more profound satisfaction in looking back over his lifetime, if he is in an area where he has felt, where he can honestly say that he's been mashpia, that he's given for tzedek, that he's been a marbitz tzedek, then he will, if he can look back and say that, you know, he's written so many articles, or he's made so much money in business, or that he's developed such and such a third or fourth or fifth generation computer. However, to say that it can be guaranteed, I certainly would not. I hope so. I think when you look at yourself in the mirror 40 years hence, you'll feel the better for it. But at the very least, I think that one should probe this. I would say even if a person does not feel he's in a position to give his whole life to it, you should think at least of giving a number of years to it. Other people go to the army. And I think that you need to get a proper sense of what the priorities are and how you can relate. My hope is that at least some of you will, in the light of this, perhaps either reevaluate what are your present plans, or if you are committed in some sense to what I've been talking about, perhaps feel more deeply committed to it. But at the very least, I think the attempt ought to be made, and I hope that eventually you will find that it is not necessarily a question of choosing between the Metzal Hashem and Metzal Hashem, but that what is Lashem is for Benten ultimately Lachem is one. Alright, and I'm sending you now, Doug. Alright, I'll arrange now about the dinner.
So,
what do you
call it?
Yeah, okay.